Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network. The Best Ever You Show is here to help you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products and businesses, real life stories. With this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. And now, here is your host, Elizabeth.
Hello, hello, beautiful Best Ever You Network. How are you all? Thank you so much for listening, and thank you to everyone at Blog Talk Radio for all of their support with the Best Ever You Show. We've been doing this for about 3 years now, and the show has well over a million downloads and climbing. And we love it when you listen and share the show in your social media. And if you want to call in live and listen from wherever you are, the phone number is 714-868-0220. And our website is besteveryou.com and percolatebook.com. Now, Percolate's a new thing that we're going to mention really fast. We've got a book coming out on April 14th. It's called Percolate, Let Your Best Self Filter Through. The publisher is Hay House. And we're really, really, really excited about that. We're in the final stages of editing it, and it's in pre-order mode right now wherever books are sold. And then we also, just quick before we get to our awesome guest, what you're going to love, this guest, her name is Cynthia James, and I'll get to her in just a second. She's awesome. We're going to talk about clothes. We're going to talk about horses and a lot about self-help. But I'm not sure in which order. I think we may go clothes first, because when I start shows and we're both giggling, you know we're going to talk about clothes. So anyway, let me tell you about our sponsor. Our sponsor is The Infinite Universe. It's theinfiniteuniverse.com. They are absolutely gorgeous handbags, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful handbags. They all have an element of stone and an element of wood within them. They're all natural, beautiful handbags, and the CEO of that company is Karen Hendricks. And right now, if you go to theinfiniteuniverse.com, you can see their spring 2014 collection. I have two of their handbags, I need to admit, and they're really gorgeous. Some are littler, some are bigger, all different sizes, styles, colors, everything. Beautiful handbags. So there's my commercial, and now we're going to the guest. I have Cynthia James with me. We're so honored to have Cynthia James with us. Her website is cynthiajames.net, and Cynthia is a transformational specialist guiding people as they make changes for lasting healing in their lives. She's a speaker, coach, and a multiple award-winning author. Her book is What Will Set You Free, and revealing her books. Her books are What Will Set You Free and Revealing Your Extraordinary Essence. I've read both of them, and I have the second one right in front of me, as well as her CD. Her books are beautiful. She's coached and supported thousands of people worldwide. Man, I cannot talk today because I'm so nervous because she's coming on. Oh, into Vibrant Living. I don't know why I'm nervous. I'm nervous, though. It's because she's totally cool. Her program is Advanced Awareness Coaching, can hear in the background, offers depth, focus, and results for high-level business leaders, which is really neat. And, there's a bunch of things here, and she can tell us all about the things that she does and the pilgrimage retreats she creates and facilitates. And Cynthia, I'm just going to be quiet. You can talk. How are you?
I'm great. I just love you.
Oh, I love you too. And this is our first meeting, and I've looked at your Facebook. I've looked at your Twitter page. I've looked at your website. I've read your book. I've read your CD. So I know as much about you as I possibly can without talking to you yet, and I can't wait to hear all about you. And one thing, can we really actually talk about clothes first, or do you?
Oh, totally. I love clothes. Okay. Clothes is my art form.
Okay.
Of my art forms.
You are my clothing idol. Now, I just want you to know that. I feel like I need to, like, come out and have, like, a clothing lesson. Oh, my goodness. I look at, in every picture of you, you have the coolest clothes. Where do they come from?
A lot of the clothes for speaking and stuff come from a woman in Los Angeles, and and her name is Tina, and she's an actress, but her fun stuff that she does for fun is that she makes clothes, and it's just I just love it. She's been doing it for me since I used to be a singer, and it's really awesome because she knows me. She knows what I love. She knows my colors. She sends me fabric once a year, and we look at the whole stuff. And then I tell her what I want, and then she sends me ideas, and she makes clothes for me, and I'm not even there.
How cool is that? Yeah, I notice they're all embellished, and, like, you know, they have – they're just – is that the fabric, or is that things that she adds on to them? I couldn't tell in some of the pictures.
It's the fabric.
I love,
she's one of the most amazing – you know, her name is Tina Preston. I didn't say her last name.
Hi, Tina Preston. We love you.
Yes, we do, and she's quite gifted.
Oh, yeah. So it's a fabric. Yeah, I wasn't sure. I love clothes and things that I embroider. So I particularly love things that have, like, beads and not necessarily, like, sequins or anything like that, but just where the stitching comes out or not breaks or anything like that, but or have beads on them or something fancy like that. But, oh, gorgeous clothing and the colors. Beautiful. Okay, so that's the clothing thing. How are you on shoes? I'm just curious.
You know, I love shoes too, but not as much as I love clothes. I mean, I'm really working on the shoe thing. I have a woman in my life named Jennifer, and she's like a shoe maven. And so sometimes she'll send me pictures. She'll be shopping, and she'll go, "This is, you should get this. I got some of the coolest boots ever," because she was in a store and texted me the picture, and I went and got the boots.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. All right, well, we're in good company then, because that's what I do too. I love boots and shoes and clothes and things like that. Okay, so now we must abandon that, though, for a minute here, actually. Thank you for being fun with me. And that's part of it, don't you think? Don't you think in all of this, like, laughter and joy and everything just plays such a key part of life?
Oh, I think we're here to be joyous. I think we're here to celebrate life, and if we are not having these experiences, these joyous, connected, laughing, fun experiences, then we really need to pause and see, you know, where's our attention.
What's so tell us about affirmative living. Your vision is affirmative living. I'd love to know more what that means.
Yeah, well, you know what? I feel like we're here to explore life from the optimistic side, meaning, you know, looking for the good in life, looking for the positive in life, looking for the potentiality in life. And when you're walking through life with that point of view, you sync up somehow. You know, Deepak Chopra calls it synchrodestiny. You sync up right with the universe and the flow of it, and then things start to move in because your attention is on the affirmative aspects of life. And so you know, not that you don't have ups and downs, but you don't live in the down place, in the challenge place, in the victim place. You absolutely correspond with the positive potentiality of the universe.
Now, one of the things my parents taught me is that, and I'm not going to phrase it perfectly, but just general paraphrasing here, is that out of any dark situation, there's light. And, you know, I think about my dad as a stroke survivor since 2004, and even in the hospital, and as dire and you know, very serious situation when you're in ICU for months and months on end, and then in a rehab facility from a stroke. So he we're so thankful that he's here and everything and alive and came through it. But I remember sitting there with my mom and being miserable and making a choice right then and there of not to be. And to find the glimmer in wherever we could, that was hope, happy, light, laughter. And because I felt like sitting there with my mom that she might die too because she was so sad because my parents had been married for 40 years. You know, do you know what I mean, the graveness of situation? So you mentioned that. And I'm wondering if you can kind of expand on that, because do you think there's hope and light in everything or not really?
No, I do, actually. And, you know, I grew up in a really violent and abusive childhood. And I wouldn't want any child to go through what I went through, but I'm extraordinarily clear that I wouldn't be doing what I do today without that. I really feel like it was part of my destiny track, and that every moment, everything that's happening for us, around us, to us, through us, that it is part of the infinite good of the universe, and we get to choose how we look at it, how we respond to it, and what we do with it after we have that experience. You know, I went through my mother passing, and it was a very challenging time of transition. And yet, my brother and I, who had been estranged for years, something happened in that moment, and we grew closer than we had ever been, and he now lives in Colorado, and we have a great relationship. And I'm really clear that us going through that experience together opened our hearts.
Hmm. And how do you make that choice? Do you remember a moment or several of them together where you said, you know, I'm not going to let this get me down? I think it's a left,
Yeah. Well, you know what? I went through University of Santa Monica in spiritual psychology, and we had to do a genogram, and I discovered that there had been 5 generations of women who had been abused and traumatized. Hmm. And when I started looking back at all of them had made the similar choices in relationships and the way they did their children and their finances. And I was like, you know what? What if it doesn't have to go any further? What if I don't have to choose the same way? What if I can take this information I've gotten and use it as a catalyst and a conduit for me to choose differently, to make a better life, to choose wonderful relationships? You know, and prior to that point, my relationships had not been great. And I decided, you know what? I deserve love, and I deserve to be loved and to love and to be connected and to be authentic and to be in a conscious relationship. And that's what I manifested.
Hmm. I love that. Yeah, so the choice to do opposite, it works, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but it's work, and it's not always easy, and I think that's when people give up.
So how do you, when you make a choice to, can we keep going on this? It's like a complicated web of, like, you know, you say enough's enough and no more, we're not going to have this in my life anymore. Where do you kind of go from there? Can you teach people a little bit about that as we're on this show, in case somebody's in pain out there or wants to make a change in their life, you know, that type of thing? What was your process there?
Well, first of all, I started looking at the aspects of my broken heart, and I started identifying them. And then I started saying, well, what would it take for me to choose differently? I had a great therapist. I had a spiritual coach that was working with me. I expanded my meditation and my spiritual practice because I really feel that healing takes place on the spiritual level, and you can understand things, but if you don't move from your head to your heart, you can't heal it. And the heart is intelligent, so I really did a lot of work on healing my heart and letting go of those fragments, those broken spaces that kept going out as energetic magnets and attracting themselves. And so what I would say to anyone is, don't try to do this alone. You'll only create and recreate from where you are. You want people that are conscious and can support you in deepening your practice, in understanding who you are and who you've come to be, what you deserve, to help you find your voice, and to stand in the truth of who you are. And a lot of us, I mean, and I did this for a while, we think that if we can figure it out, we're going to heal, and that's not the path.
Hmm. You know, that's a really interesting point there, because I think a lot of people do think that. They think, oh, okay, if I can figure it out, those are really good words for that. What does that mean to you, like figuring it out? Because I agree with you, when you go from the head with trying to figure it out to what your heart says, and you listen really carefully to your heart. I always say, think with your heart. That's one of my my things I say. It changes. It just changes you. And the other people around you, too, I think.
Well, it does, because here's the thing. How we're responding today, your life is really reflecting back what you're thinking and how you're living. And if you're trying to understand things or get clarity from that point of view, you'll only recreate the things that you created. There's something beyond that. The quantum physicists say there's a quantum field of infinite possibilities. And so to get to that field of infinite possibilities and open your awareness, you have to step out of limited thinking and linear thinking, because really the way the universe works, it's not linear. You know, it comes in these beautiful pictures and ways of being and expressions, and it's, you know, it's, I think it's how artists create. You know, they don't necessarily have the way, the path, but they just start creating, and then this beautiful thing emerges.
Yeah. Yeah, the ability to, like, paint or draw or write or anything like that, it's just sort of funky how that happens, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to explain. I think you do a much better job than my funky how that happens. That's funny.
Yeah, but, you know, you just wrote a book, and, you know, and you probably didn't sit down and go from chapter one to the end of the book.
No, it was a mishmash of all sorts of ideas I think I had since I was a little kid. And I'm not, it's interesting because I'm not an avid self-help reader of books. And so when I wrote this book, I really hadn't read any self-help books. So it was all my ideas from just living and so forth. And I wrote them down and stuff. And now I've come back and kind of, you know, I kind of read different books and things like that. And I love everybody's different books that they write and all the things that people create in photography and stuff. So especially music, I'm fascinated by your music. And I wanted to ask you, when, you know, have you always known you were like a musician since you were a little kid? That's a common question I ask on my show because I love to know, if did that bring you through struggles? Was music something you reached for? I have no idea, but you seem very, very beautifully musical.
You know, I came on the planet with music. I mean, I came on the planet with, I was highly expressive. In fact, you know, my mother used to say that I would embarrass her because when people would come to the house, I'd come down and do a show, you know, whether they invited me or not. But music, you know. But you know what? It's really interesting because when I was in high school, people used to love to hear me sing, but it was fascinating. You know, I wasn't like an Aretha Franklin or, you know, a Gladys Knight or one of those people. And so I think I discounted my gifts. And I don't know, I think I somehow or another, even though people were saying they liked it, I wasn't really totally responding. But as I got older and I started singing more, I started understanding that I had a unique instrument, mm-hmm. and that I could write music, not because because I hadn't been trained, you know, really like piano and things like that to really like compose, but melodies and lyrics would just come through me. And so I would record them, and then I'd have a keyboard person, you know, put it down on paper, and they would tell me that my chord structures were very interesting and different. And I just think I think music is my soul.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think you are a wow like that, having listened to a lot of the things that you've done. Do you what are you going to do with that as years keep going? Do you ever think, wow, I'm going to go out on a tour? I'm curious what your goals are.
You know what? It's really interesting because I've been visioning with a group of people to go out and create these experiences for the soul that aren't in churches or spiritual communities, that are these come in and hear music and have expression and dance and all of these things that is how the soul expresses. And so my music will be, and my speaking will be laced through that, and then there'll be artists that will come with me in different regions of the country.
Oh, how neat. Are you actually, is that something you're thinking about doing, or is that something you are doing?
That's something that's probably going to get launched in 2014.
Good for you. Good. Okay. Let me go back to some of the questions I have for you, because I'm, of course, a little bit, so bring me back.
I actually kind of like it.
Well, you know, you say something and it triggers my thought to ask you something else. So if I veer too off course and you want to bring me back somewhere, please do, because I have a habit of doing that. It sounds to me like the absolute love of your life might be somebody named Carl Studna. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
He is such a cool guy. Can you tell us all how you met him and all the things that you have in common? And I see lots of different pictures, and it's neat. So
Yeah, you know, Carl is, we will have been together 19 years in, mm-hmm. in March, and we'll be married 15 years in August. And I met him at Agape. I was Agape International Spiritual mm-hmm. Center in Los Angeles. I was a practitioner there, and he sang in the choir. And he says we met before I remembered, but I had been going through a divorce, and I was kind of like, you know, kind of shut down to noticing
men. I know how those go.
And,
I have one of those.
Yeah. And actually, it was really, he sang in the choir, and I was singing, and they had a prison ministry, and we went to this prison to do a concert, and we had to stay out in the parking lot for a long time because there had been a breakout, you know, weeks before or something. So we started talking, and there was this sweetness about his soul and this connection, and a few weeks later, you know, we started dating, and it was one of the things that I had asked for in the universe in terms of relationship was I wanted a man who was conscious, who was actively seeking his own soul expression. Mm-hmm. I wanted someone who was creative. I wanted someone who had a deep love of family. He comes from an amazing group of people, a family that's just so connected and so loving. And from the moment he brought me into that family, I mean, it was like I belonged there. Mm-hmm. And so it's been an amazing journey for us. You know, we've gone through ups and downs like any relationship, but it's such a conscious communication that we have, and the willingness to be authentic and tell the truth and continuing to open the heart. It's really, I had never seen it in my family, and he hadn't seen it modeled like this. And so we actually created our own form of relationship.
I love it. And what's that? What's that mean to you? What is?
You know what? We're awake. Yeah. That's what it means to me. We're awake. We support and honor each other. And we're working on a project, you know, a teleseries that we're going to do later in the year for men and women based on all these learnings. Because I got to tell you, it's been amazing really to say, okay, this person really is my mirror. What is being mirrored back to me that I love, and what is being mirrored back to me that I don't love? And that stuff that I don't love, how do I really go in and look at it, own it, and transform it? And
okay.
It's just so amazing to have a partner that does that with you.
Go back for a minute and teach us what that meant. I think a lot of my audience might not know what that means.
What?
Mirroring.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not positive, you know, everybody. You might have lost people right there. Just with
okay.
Sometimes newer self-help.
So what a lot of New Thought people say is that there's a person that comes into your life really comes in as a reflection of you, as an outpicturing of you, and that's good news and interesting news. That's all the positive things that you have, you know, the light, the love, the creativity, whatever that is. And then it also mirrors, it brings up within you that stuff that you don't necessarily love. You know, you fall in love, and then there's this statement, love brings up anything unlike itself. That's stuff within you that you don't necessarily like in other people lives within you. And the partner reflects that to you. And a lot of times we don't like it, so we leave. But if you can stay and honor that is bringing it up for your own healing and transformation, you become a better person. I mean, I am not the person I was 19 years ago.
Yeah, me, I'm not either. I don't think any of us really are. And I'm not the person I was 19 years ago. What's the enormous change or shift or how have you grown?
Oh, you know what? I think I'm softer. You know, when you grow up being abused, you become self-protected and a warrior. I think my heart is softer. I think I am a much better communicator. I think I really feel that one of the gifts I got being with Carl is that I learned who I was, what I needed and wanted, was willing to communicate it, you know, because in other relationships I had been a chameleon. Whatever they needed or wanted, I was so afraid of losing that I would just change. And with Carl, I mean, from the very beginning, it's like, this is who I am, and this is how I show up. And then he says, and this is who I am and how I show up. And we learn to love and honor and respect each other and grow together. I mean, it's been an extraordinary adventure.
Well, I think it's neat that you can talk about it, too. I think that's really neat that you can articulate all the different things. I keep saying to myself in my head, there's going to be like a college class that you guys teach or something like that, or we're going to be studying you. And it sounds like you're going to do it already in 2014. But there's a lot to learn from you guys because, you know, I think that too, and I won't come out probably as articulate as you are here, but, you know, I'm definitely not the person, neither one of us are the person we married or met in a way so many years ago either. We've grown and changed and maneuvered, and we've been through so many different things. My husband and I look at each other and say, you know, we can kind of work through just about anything. We just have developed these skills where other people might be divorced, and we've kind of got this skill set of dealing with things. Is that kind of what you're talking about? And it doesn't have to be so cut and dry like that, but, it's much softer and loving and things like that. But the way to explain it is, you know, when something comes up, it's a really neat communication process we have.
I'd love to say that it was pretty the entire time, but it wasn't.
Yeah, me too.
And,
no, yeah.
But what was incredible is that both of us were in the mode of staying. Okay, let's stay and let's see what happens if we go in here. You know, Gay and Kathleen Hendricks talk about the microscopic truth, right? You know, are you willing to tell the deepest level of your truth, and can you stay in the room? I mean, and it's been awesome because what it's done for me is because I never saw relationships that lasted and that had strength. The fact that this is happening to me, I mean, sometimes it feels like surreal because I have a partner that wants to walk the journey and wants to do the work to stay connected and to grow.
Yeah. Yep. I love that. And it's not always easy, I don't think, either. Okay, let me come back here a little bit and talk about, hang on just a second, we're off a little bit on different things, but I want to talk about, can we talk about daily commitments? Do you mind if we talk about that, like daily commitments and how, and capacity to change? Because I have a feeling somewhere in there you made a commitment somewhere to change.
Yeah. Daily commitments, I think, are essential. I mean, that's why I created my app. It's that we have to have a practice and things that are coming in that are consistently bombarding us with information, good information, transformative information, information that will help us grow and change and remind us who we truly are. There is so much going on in this information highway that we're in that is telling us things that aren't positive, that aren't supportive, that aren't nurturing or uplifting. And the thing is that what I feel, the thing that has shifted for me is that there's a lot more positive information coming in than that other stuff. And it's by design. I mean, I open my app every day and I look at it. I have books that I read and quotes that I have that support me. I listen to positive music. I meditate and do spiritual practice for an hour every day. That daily commitment helps me not go out and succumb to the energy around, you know, because I'm around thousands of people all the time. It's like I have to have a way to stay in my center so that I'm really listening to my deep inner guidance and intuition and not just taking on all the energy of everything around me. I mean, because if you listen to the news, I mean, you know, we're doomed.
It's scary to listen to the news. I in fact, this morning I just said to my husband, how can you start your day like that? Like, I have to turn that off. turn it on to sports or something. I can't handle it. And it's funny because we've got this practice, and at first it was kind of a joke between us, and then it sort of set in as kind of a fun practice. But when our alarm goes off, it goes off, it's probably more information, TMI, too much information, but when our alarm goes off, it goes off to like a spiritual radio show, and it's this guy talking, and whatever he says in that moment when we're waking up is something that we incorporate into our day, whether it's fun or a joke or serious or whatever. But right when that alarm goes off, it this guy is talking, and he'll say something like, peace to you today, or whatever, you know, whatever it is, and we bring that exact thing at that exact moment into our whole day. And
I love that.
It's kind of fun. It did start out as a joke because he had the radio set wrong, something else, you know, but I say he had the radio set right because it's, you know, it's a really neat station and stuff. But what's interesting, though, is we, you know, so we do that, and then we get ready, and we're downstairs, and the kids are around, and then it's on the news, and I'm like, oh, it just negated that. I have to turn that off.
Right.
Interesting, huh? Exactly what you're saying. But this app, this going back to your app, that's cool. So we can go on our iPhones or on our...
You can go on your iPhone or your Droid, and
yeah.
It's also in Spanish.
Called Affirmative Living?
Affirmative Living app. It's 100 days of affirmations.
I love that.
And a different one comes in with these beautiful pictures that just... And it's so interesting because, you know, sometimes I forgot what I wrote. And I'm
yeah,
in some kind of space
that,
and the thing will pop
like
up
that.
And I'll go, right.
yeah, that's it. That's cute when you do that, isn't it? It's like, oh, I wrote that. That's funny. Okay. And so it sounds like I need to start waking up to Passages, which is a meditation CD that you have. I love this. This is neat. How did you, okay, whenever anybody creates something like that, I always, like, want to know the story of how they did it. But I know
right.
We probably don't have time for that. But if you can share a little bit, that'd be cool, because this is a really neat CD.
Well, you know what? I started noticing that, you know, I've been counseling people for over 20 years, and there's, like, four areas that come up over and over again. You know, it's purpose, it's relationships, it's finances and health. And so and for me, getting through those doorways, those portals, you know, and transforming those areas can change an entire life. And so this whole meditation was created to take people through these what I call the mahogany doors, and they go through these portals and they go down these roads to really explore how to change their whole way of being around these four areas. And it's been amazing what's happened with people doing them, because some people will do like the whole meditation CD, and others will just do one area that they really need to work on a lot. And then the final track is called I Am, and it's this overlay of all these affirmations of who we all have come here to be, beautiful and powerful and inspired and grace-filled and joyous. And it's just this layer. Actually, it's all these layers. And so you can turn it on, and it's like the room gets filled with all these affirmations to just take you right back into who you came to be.
What if somebody's listening right now and they're like, yeah, I hear you, but I still just don't think I'm that great? Do you ever have people that you come across like that where they're like, I hear everything that you're saying, but it's just sort of not sinking in? Like, I want to be like that, but I just don't feel like I am. I come across people like that sometimes. And, you know, a lot. I think a lot of us feel that way sometimes, too, especially, like, if you go on your Facebook for a minute and go to your, you know, link of every super amazing thing that's happening to, like, everybody else in the world when you're having a bad day. You know, it's like, look at my child born, look at me. And you just don't, you know, I think you always want to be happy for other people and things like that, but sometimes you just don't feel so good. So where do you start? And you just really just don't feel so good, or maybe things aren't working out the way you wanted them to, or it's not happening fast enough, or you know, all those types of things, especially creative people. Yeah.
You know what? I mean, I totally get that. I mean, I've had bouts of depression, and I've gone through all kinds of things in life. But this is what I always tell myself, and this is what I tell people. You really are a masterpiece of the universe. You are a unique expression, no one like you anywhere. And so even though in this moment there is that feeling that you're having, the truth is that you are powerful and you're mighty and you're dynamic, and you came to bring gifts in a way no one else can do, and you will not leave this planet until you do. And I just, I feel strongly about it. I mean, there were times that I was saying that stuff to myself when I was like, oh, my goodness, how am I going to pay my bills? You know, I mean, I can't get a job. I mean, and I kept saying that stuff because I just want everyone to know I really believe that's the truth. You know, I mean, you, Elizabeth, you're doing your radio show the way no one else can do it. You're writing your book the way no one else can do it. You know, you're modeling for people in a way no one else can do it. And 20 years ago, you wouldn't have said, well, you know, in 2013, I'll be doing this radio show and writing books and have this fabulous husband.
I was back going, oh, my God, what am I going to do? You know? Yeah, and I agree with you. You know, you have bouts of this or bouts of that. And it's interesting. But that is such great wisdom right there to just, can I take it a step further? And if somebody still, like they hear you say that, and they still go, but yeah, I still just don't buy it. You know, I just don't feel good. How do you start to put a practice in place or teach people? You know, because I'm guessing if you're not feeling that great, one day of saying, you know, I'm unique and beautiful and wonderful and special and all that stuff isn't gonna work. Maybe it will. But is there a practice you can put in place, like your app or something like that, where you can use these tools to help you daily until your spirit and soul kind of catch on with you?
Right. Well, the app would be good. And the first book I wrote, What Will Set You Free, one of the things that's important for people to understand that there really is a mind-body connection. I mean, the brain people talk about the fact that when you have a good feeling, it drops this chemical and then it connects to the feeling and it cycles around and then you feel better and better. I mean, that's what happens when we fall in love. And the same thing happens when you're depressed or you're feeling sad or upset or grieving or whatever. It drops this chemical and it connects to the feeling and then it cycles and it keeps dropping that chemical and we just keep being in that space. But the body has its own language, and if you learn what that language is, like if you're not feeling great, just close your eyes for a second and find out where your body is most constricted. Because what that's telling you is that that's where that energy is living, that sadness or that grief. That's the place it's living. And you can actually go into the body in those places energetically and ask the body what is really happening. And if you get still enough, it will start to tell you. In fact, it will take you usually back to some childhood experience. It'll take you back to some experience where someone broke your heart or did something similar, and it didn't get healed, and it's up again because it's triggered. Your body is an incredible information communication device. And if you can just get still and say, okay, my heart is hurting, you know, what is wanting to be healed here? What is wanting to be told to me? How can I nurture myself in this moment to move through this hurt and this pain? And some of it's very old.
Yeah. And if you don't take the time to do that, is that where things like addiction and drugs and alcohol and, you know, all the things might take hold as the alternative to really paying attention? Well, not necessarily
right. It will
all
also
those
create
things,
disease.
But yeah, absolutely. So I love what you said, to stop and get still enough with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I quoted you.
And you
right.
have to
Sorry.
Pause. You got to turn off the TV and you know, all the loudness. You got to get someplace where you can be and just really connect with that place. You know, everything that's ever happened to us is encoded somewhere in our body.
Hmm.
And it's got deep information.
And it comes out in different ways.
Absolutely.
That's what you mean. Okay, so it could come out like you're sick, or it could come out happy, right?
Sure, it could come out totally. It could come out happy. It could come out in the creation of art or a business.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, that's it. That's really interesting. It's that's really hard to explain too. Like migraines and things like that. There was a stretch of time that I would get the most unbelievable migraines every once in a while, and I was like, oh my God, what is that? And it was just like stress and awfulness, just terrible, terrible migraines. But I kind of did some of that work where you just get really quiet while you have your migraine and try and understand and things like that. I did a lot of that work. So I agree with you that it comes out in different ways, totally. what do you think about, I don't know if that was the most intelligent thing, but I had migraines at one point. What about forgiveness? How do you work in forgiveness into all of this too?
You know what? I think forgiveness is the key to freedom. Here's the thing.
I'm going to write that down. Hang on. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you say this twice. I love the things that you say. Forgiveness is the key to freedom. I'm writing that down right now because I want to quote you when we're done with the show. Sorry to interrupt you. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
Well, you know, and here's the thing. You know, if you believe that the universe is infinite and loving, then really there's no person to forgive. What happens to people is something happens, and the moment it happens, a judgment or a belief comes in. And I'll just use myself as an example. Being molested by my stepfather, I thought that there was something wrong with me. I thought I came up with a judgment that I was flawed on some level, or I didn't deserve love, or I couldn't trust love. And so that became my way of being, and that's what I attracted. When I started doing forgiveness work, the concept that if I could let go of the judgment of that other person or that event as meaning anything about me, then something could start to move. I mean, and so forgiveness for me is the letting go of the perceptions and the judgments that hold us hostage to the past. And because what I noticed is those judgments that I had about what happened with my stepfather, I actually was doing to myself. I was abusing myself on different levels with food or over, drinking or, you know, whatever the thing was. And I started getting that, I forgive myself for my judgments of them and my blame of them, and I forgive myself for judging myself for the way in which I've treated myself. And that in that moment of letting go, I get to choose my life. I get to choose my freedom. I get to choose to be happy. I get to choose to be creative. And I get to choose to let go of anything from the past that doesn't support my freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And how do you move from, what's the art of forgiveness? Do you know? How do you start to forgive somebody for something so awful that they've done to you or done to somebody else? Or, a lot of people have a lot of different stances on forgiveness. Not everybody has the ability to forgive. I'm not sure. That's right. Sort of a blanket statement, but I bet they don't.
Here's the thing. You know, you're not going to condone someone's behavior by forgiving. You're not going to say it was all right. You are also not going to erase the fact that it happened. But if you think about, the lack of forgiveness as a hook, you are hooked into that other person. And because you will not let go and give it up for your sake, because that's what forgiveness is, giving it up for your sake, mm-hmm. If you're not willing to let go, then you have that hook in them. And you're dragging them through your life. I mean, when I got that, it was like, oh, no, I do not want to be dragging people through my life. I want to let go of them for my sake, for my healing, for my transformation. So that, what they did was despicable. What they did was horrible. But this is today, and I do not have to choose to drag them into this day.
Why do you think so many people, like, they get stuck right there going, I want to know why you did that to me, I don't know if it's making sure, it's like that, trying to make them, almost make it not ever happen, maybe, or make them stop, or make, and like some people, I'm guessing, you probably just can't change. They're just going to do what they're going to do, and that's that, I don't condone what you did, but I'm getting the heck away from you and doing something else kind of thing. But how do you get move away from that? Like, I'm mad at you. I'm angry at you. I want to whatever.
Well, you got to find out what the payoff is.
Okay.
You know, and there is a payoff. You know, when I say that in my workshops, people go, "No, there's no payoff." Yes, it is. What's the payoff? So the payoff could be that I'm really attached to being a victim, and by holding on to this experience, then I get to prove I'm right. I am a victim. Or I get to prove that you can't trust love, and so I keep bringing in these people that treat me badly. There's something underneath that's a belief that keeps running. And so let's say that there, you know, when I was talking about those chemicals that get dropped, mm-hmm. right? Let's say there's an addiction to those chemicals. You're so used to feeling bad that when you stop feeling bad, it doesn't feel like it's you. So then you go back to the feeling or the experience or the creation of an experience that keeps you in that feeling because that's what you're used to and that's how you've defined yourself. But the truth is, if you can let go of those people, I mean, you know, some people are mad at people that they haven't seen in 20 years.
Yeah.
And they're still holding on to it. And it's like, that doesn't belong to you. You know, you have a life to live. You've come here to do grand things. Let them go because they're not even in your life now. And some people have even forgotten your name.
Interesting.
And you're still holding on to them.
Yeah. Truth. Very wise. I hope people, I think I have to point people back to the specific minutes of this part of the show. So, because that's really helpful to help people heal. Is that core to some of your work? Seems like
absolutely.
It might be.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. I want to help people free up the energy and the beliefs that don't support them.
Yeah. And then, you know, a lot of what percolate is whether it's, you know, whether it's something you want to change specifically or health matter or whatever, we move into finding our community and then percolating peace.
Mm-hmm.
How do you teach people to do that?
For the communities and to create.
Yeah, you don't have to talk about percolating peace or anything like that. But I mean, just the community and you call it purpose and so forth, because I think that's so important. It's exactly what you're doing. You know, you've made this change in your life, and you're teaching other people all about forgiveness. You're teaching, I'm sure you're teaching, you know, there's a number of things. You're going to take me another radio show, I'm sure, to tell people all the things that you're teaching. but, you know, they can go to CynthiaJames.net. I want to make sure I mention that again and get your app, which is Affirmative Living, to help out and start to learn. So those are some of the real obvious ways that you're helping where people can go reach out like that. But how do you teach other people to work with their pain? You know, does everybody move into this phase of helping other people, or do some people just heal and that's it and they go about their merry way? Or it seems like there's lots of different people out there doing lots of different things. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we're interconnected, and I think we all have different purposes. You know what I mean? But this is what when I work with executives and I work with, you know, my clients, I tell them, we're going to start by discovering what you're passionate about, what ignites you. Because if you do that, if you really connect to that, and you start living out of that place from the things that inspire you, then you become an inspiration point. And you, whether you are out there actively, you know, working with people or not, you begin to model that energy that affects people and affects environments. And I really think that that's how we change the planet. I think that by all of us being connected to what we love and what brings us joy and opens our hearts and ignites us, we do that, then it becomes contagious. And so whether it's in your life or your family or your community or your spiritual community or your work environment, you become a conduit. I used to work in corporate America, and I ended up coaching people inside that organization because people would come and talk to me. And my boss noticed, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And we started working on a program to support teams in that organization because people want to be inspired.
Yeah. No, that's a really neat way of putting that. I love that. When you do what you're passionate about, you become an inspiration point. That's cool. See, I can quote you all day long. I'm just going to start quoting you. That's funny. Oh, that's cute. Okay. So, yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I absolutely love that. And what about, does it have to be something, does it have to be that you're in pain and have to turn things around, or can it be really anything? Does it always have to be that you're, you know, in this amount of pain as the catalyst for change?
No. No. In fact, I was coaching a woman from Switzerland recently who actually was a successful author and speaker, and she felt stuck. She felt like there was something else she wanted to do. There wasn't anything wrong with her life, but she was something she wanted to do. So we spent 6 months working on opening up, and what came forward was that the vision that she had created, that she had up to that point, was too small. So something else was wanting to be birthed.
That's awesome. And so what did she do?
She started a whole new aspect of her business. It's expanded, and she's expanded, and teaching people how to do what she does. And I mean, it's awesome. And she's found we found a place within her where she didn't recognize her ability to be like magnificent in the broadest things. So she had created this niche, but she was bigger than that. And it was awesome to witness. It's very exciting.
Yeah. When do you it doesn't seem like there's room for your life for any kind of jealousy. Do you ever become jealous of other people, or do you encounter people who are jealous of other people? Because jealousy, I wish I could do a seminar on the negativity of the jealousy or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That is, jealousy is such a bad place to get stuck in, because it just, to me, it just wrecks all gratitude, just destroys it.
You know what, I used to have jealous bouts all the time, and this is what I discovered for myself, that the moment that you move into a state of jealousy, you think there's not enough.
Okay, wait a minute.
You think that someone can take your good.
Okay,
and once I got, okay.
wait, no, I kind of want you to repeat yourself, because it's such a good lesson for people. Because a lot of people are stuck in jealousy mode, to the comparing,
right.
You know, the, oh, your car is better, your house is bigger, oh, you know, all the things. So
right.
Can you say that one more time?
Yeah, it's like the moment that jealousy thing rises, you are in a state of belief that someone can take something from you or that there's not enough. And you know... It took me a long time to get that I'm in the right place at the right time in every single moment. And if I don't get something, it's because it wasn't mine. And so I'm always like, okay, just wait. It was interesting. I submitted a proposal, and I didn't hear back right away. And then I started thinking, oh, it wasn't good. I mean, I went through this whole thing, and then I was like, wait
yeah.
a minute. Maybe
wait
it's not time. And sure enough, I got an email saying, sorry this took so long, but this has just happened. And we would love to talk to you. And it's like,
how
okay.
do that to ourselves? What is that in
yes.
ourselves? Because I do that sometimes, and I still do it sometimes. I admit, I do this. And not like outward jealousy, like, oh, your car is great, your house, you know, not that kind of stuff, but more of the, like, doubt. It's like kind of like a
mm-hmm.
self-doubt creeps in sometimes.
Right.
What is that?
Well, you know what? I think it's part of the human conditioning. But
I don't
here's
like
the deal.
It.
There's nothing that's not available for you. You know, I mean, when you think about the animal, you know, we live in the mountains of Colorado, you know, and there's elk running through and deer and all, you know, and birds and everything. And you know, and I just can't believe that a bird ever has the thought, I wonder if there's enough for me to eat. Or, you know, or the other birds are going to eat all my food and I'm not going to, I mean, that's just such, it's just so limiting. It's like, why wouldn't we be taken care of the way the animals are taken care of? Why wouldn't we if we're part of that universal wholeness? I mean, I just feel like if we can stop thinking about what we don't have and say and being grateful for what we do have, and that's a conduit for the creation of more, we never have to worry about what anybody else is doing or not doing, because ours is here, and it's here by grace.
Do you think that you have to practice that? Is that a okay, you do. Do you think you
have to practice, because there's so much information around that, you know, I mean, that's all about competition. I mean, that's the way that, you know, the business models work. I mean, a lot of the reality TV, it's about competition. I mean, you know,
Twitter
but it's
followers
like,
do you have? And I hear you.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Exactly.
That's what matters? Seriously? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I like what you just said, too, because it sort of brings you back to the core of who you are. Is that kind of what you mean? To come back to your center. Right.
And it comes back to what I said earlier. You're a unique expression and a masterpiece. Nobody's like you. Nobody can do what you do the way you do it. Therefore, no one can take anything from you.
Hmm. I'm curious, what are some of your hobbies?
I love to dance.
That make you unique? Ooh, yeah.
I love to
That's
dance.
Cool.
If I was famous, I'd try to be on Dancing with the Stars.
You are famous, though. We should put you on Dancing with the Stars. You're famous as you get. Okay.
I would
now,
be out there trying to
Twitter.
Dance. I love to dance. I love to dance, and I love to read.
See, you love to dance, and you love to read. And if you're into social media, like on Twitter, we could, like, start trending, you know, Cynthia James for Dancing with the Stars or something like that, and actually make that. We put that out into the universe now, and now you know it's going to happen. So.
Okay, great. Now, that would make me so happy. I mean, I just think, you know, I watch all those people, and their lives are transformed because they go beyond where they think
Isn't
they can
it
go.
Cool?
It's just awesome.
I love, you know, that's why I watch that show. Their bodies transform, their moods transform, their eyes sparkle, they light up, don't they? Not everybody.
Totally.
But I think that's
totally.
The coolest thing.
And this year, you know, that little Amber from Glee who won and said, and her closing thing was, no matter what you look like, you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, you see every type of person on there. I love that show because you don't have to be, you know, 6 feet tall and weigh 100 pounds and, you know, and be a professional, you know, all the things that, you know, you can be 5 foot two and 140 pounds and, you know, or whatever.
Right.
They do different body shapes and types and people, and it's so cool. And professions and football players, and isn't it fun?
It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. I just absolutely think that show's so cool. So, okay, well, we now know that goal. we hang out in crowds that make things happen, so I think we're going to have to send that one. I love that. Okay, so you love to read. I don't know, I'm a person sometimes who can't rattle off the names of, hang on, we're going to go a little bit late, but I can't rattle off all the names of books and titles that I've read recently sometimes and so forth, but can you? Like, do you have a favorite book or anything like that?
There's a woman in Los Angeles whose name is Kathleen McGowan. Mm-hmm. And she has a trilogy. The first one's called The Expected One. The second one's called The Book of Love. And the third one's called The Poet Prince. And it's really, she's like a historical novelist, like kind of like Brown. And she, her whole thing is, you know, the journey of Mary Magdalene and Jesus to bring love to the planet. Extraordinary book.
Oh,
and then there's another one called Pope Annalisa about an African nun who becomes pope, which is also like a novel. I mean, awesome book.
I know Peter, actually. Isn't that funny?
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I know
awesome
the author
book.
Of that book. Yeah, he's a really nice guy. Really nice guy. I've known him pretty much since the second I started Best Ever You. Isn't that funny?
Wow.
Do you know him?
No, I don't, but I
okay, well, you will
his,
now.
His
he's
manager
really
sent nice. The book, and it's just awesome.
Yeah, he is Peter's a really great guy. So I notice we're running out of time. And I don't. Do you, how do you want to handle that? Do you want to keep going, or do you have to go? I want
to. Well, I have to go in about 5 minutes, but I just want you to know that this feels like I'm in your living room, and we're just two girlfriends sitting down having this great conversation.
Well, good, because
you're really great at this.
Well, I don't know if I'm great at this, but I thank you. But I absolutely, you know, you're just neat to me. I don't know. I just want to fly to Denver and give you the biggest hug. I have no idea why or what or whatever, but I think you're just, I knew I would just love you too. I just, yeah, you're cool. So before we go, you know, when somebody has something in their past that's really hurtful, like hearing what's happened to you, how do you teach other people to respond to that? Do you just say, I'm sorry that's happened to you? What are the words that
I tell them I'm sorry it happened, that you didn't deserve it,
mm-hmm.
and I tell them that it doesn't define you, that what happened was not great, and it was painful, but it doesn't define who you are.
Yeah.
And you do not have to carry it. You do not, because it doesn't belong to you. It's not a part of you. It's something that happened to you energetically, but it's not who you are. You are love in form. You are beautiful, and you are creative, and you are majestic and powerful.
And I think it's
the truth of every person.
Oh, yeah, I do too. And what do you think would happen if everybody heard that? What do you think would happen to the world
if we would start loving each other and honoring each other? We would not see separation, and we wouldn't be trying to hoard and be above others. You know, I think we would start to get that we're here because we're supposed to be, and we're all interconnected. We're part of the human family.
I love it. All right, we're leaving on that. And I've got several things written down that I'm going to go quoting you in our friendly Twitter. I love that. all right, everybody. So this has been a wonderful conversation with Cynthia James. Her website is cynthiajames.net. Her book is Revealing Your Extraordinary Essence, Practical Tools for Empowered Living. Her app is, I don't have it in front of me, it's Affirmative Living. Yep. And then your CD is Passages, Meditations for Affirmative Living. And remember, as you're listening to this show, that she secretly wants to be on Dancing with the Stars. And so, powers of the world that be, we need to make that happen. I love it. That's so neat. I love to dance, too. So, yeah, we have cool things in common, too. I like that. All right. Much love to you. Say hello to Carl. And, we didn't talk about horses. Next time, maybe?
Yeah, would love that.
Okay. We'll come back and talk about horses. All right. Much love to you. Thank you all.
You too. Happy holidays to you.
Yeah, all. Thank you, Cynthia. I appreciate having you on the show so much. It's been a wonderful experience, and I love all the lessons that you've taught us, too. I think that's really neat when you can come on a show and teach people things and have fun. It's a gift to smile and laugh and talk about clothes, but then also really impart really neat wisdom. So lots of love. Happy holidays.
Okay, to you, too. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye. And thank you, everyone, for listening to the Best Ever You show. We'll be back on Friday, the 20th, December 20th, with Fran Capo. All right. Take care, everyone, and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.